welcome you tonight. I'll get wired up here. Without dropping up. We definitely thank you for coming tonight. If this is your first time, we would give you a very, very special welcome. And I'll apologize at least for the first speaker. You're not coming to hear a preacher. The last one is a preacher. We always look forward to hearing him. But what is important is not really the messenger, but it's all we are. We're just simple messengers. But we are presenting to you a message from God. That's what makes us so important. And I'll tell you, if it was simply getting up here to show how good or bad I could preach, you wouldn't drag me up here, no matter what. But this is a message. That song that we just sang, it's something that has made a big difference in our own life, and we would long for you to have the same thing. So that's why we convene this gospel meeting every Sunday night, and we certainly welcome you in the future, 7 o'clock on each and every Sunday night in the will of the Lord, and of course, on tomorrow night, the youth group at 6:30, y'all are welcome, and as well, on Thursday night, we have a prayer meeting and a ministry or a teaching meeting, and you'll be welcome. Of course, these are all announced in the will of the Lord. So before we open the Bible, we'll take a moment and ask for God's help, and we'll pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus. We're thankful of a Savior that we can talk about, we can tell about. A Savior that has touched our own lives and has made a difference. And even though we have lots of failures, yet we can proclaim one that has never or will never, ever fail. So just pray for help tonight to present the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior of the world. Just ask for help from start to finish that everything that we said would be what God would have us to say. And we just pray that there would be even a soul tonight that would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we just pray for help in our Savior's name. Amen. Read first in Matthew chapter 4. I really want to read three statements. First statement is actually said three times in this little story. I'm not going to read the whole story. Really, the context here, the Lord Jesus, he's been without food or drink for 40 days. I don't know how long you would last. I can barely go a few hours without eating, but he went 40 days without eating, and he was tempted by the devil. And we need to remember that the Lord Jesus, he is God. He is the Son of God. And yet this makes it so important, it makes it so interesting that John, if we can read in John's Gospel chapter 1, it begins, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. John really talking about the Lord Jesus, so he is the Word, but yet it's interesting that when he responded to the devil these three times, he makes a statement, and we're going to read it. I want you to think about it. So Matthew chapter 4, we've talked about the first, so in verse 3, and when the tempter, who was the devil, came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And he tempts him again. He takes him to the temple. We can read that in 5. He takes him to the pinnacle of the temple and said, "Well, cast yourself down." It's written in the Old Testament that, you know, if something happens, that, you know, that God will make sure he doesn't dash his foot against a stone. But again, we can read in verse 7. Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Verse 8 again, "The devil taketh them into an exceeding high mountain, showeth them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, All these things will I give thee if you fall down and worship me." Verse 10, "Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Again, as we read these three passages, try to pick out what that little statement is that I'm thinking about for a few minutes. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, so Christ also was once suffered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Back to John's Gospel, chapter 19. Fourth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John, chapter 19. In verse 30, Lord Jesus, he's been nailed to the cross. He's come through a darkness of 3 hours, and he had cried out just before this, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We're going to read another cry from the cross. So John chapter 19 and verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I'm just going to read one reference verse quickly in Romans chapter 17, or Acts chapter 17, sorry. Again, this is the next book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then we get into Acts, chapter 17. And the Apostle Paul, he's actually preaching a sermon here. He was in Athens, a city that we're, if you're into history or even you follow different things, Athens has been kind of a very important city, even down through history. And so Paul's visiting Athens. It was a very religious city. They had a lot of different gods. They had a lot of superstitions. Well, Paul's preaching to them. And that's what to think of verse 30 and 31. So really, he's talking about these people they didn't really know. They actually had an altar to the unknown God, and he actually used that to really present to them a God that they really didn't know. And then as he says here in verse 30, and at the times of this ignorance, or really in the times you didn't know, God really is winked at, God is overlooked, but now commandeth all men and women, everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, or that man that he has set in place, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. We trust God will bless his word, but really that statement, it is. We've read it. It is written, and three times, even as I mentioned, the Lord Jesus, who is God, who is the Son of God. It's interesting that even though he was God, that when he was really responding to the devil, he really rested his authority on the Word of God. And really, that's one thing I want to impact upon you tonight, is the fact that it's not about the gospel hall, no Larry. It's not about me. It's not about David. It's not about Frank. It's not about any other person in this world. Their authority really doesn't matter when it comes to the scriptures, when it comes to eternity. Everything that we say needs to be backed up by the Word of God when it comes to speaking of God and speaking about the future. And even here, as the Lord Jesus, as he was tempted in these three different occasions, he said three times, it is written, it is written, it is written. And that's what I want you to impress upon your heart tonight, the first part of the meeting, is what is important is what is written in the Word of God. You know, we live in a world, I know Brody mentioned it, I think David did as well in the gospel meetings that we just finished, that, you know, you can go, it doesn't take you long to go on social media, and there's so many different opinions, what this person thinks or that person thinks, and a lot of things in this world do come down to, they are subjective. Maybe in your circumstances and your little field of life, maybe there's a certain view, a certain opinion that really helps you or affects your life. And maybe for me, something's a little bit different. But what we are presenting to you tonight is something that applies to all men. The verse that's written on the wall just to my left, to your right. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, we are not here trying to look down upon you and try to say that we are better than you because we go to church every Sunday. No, it's nothing about that. The Bible is very clear time and time and time again that we have all sinned. Every single one of us, and if we're honest with ourselves and especially honest before God, even since 5 o'clock, we have committed more sins than we want to admit. And really, we don't. Now, the world that we live in, we really do not understand what sin is or how serious sin is. But sin is against God, and God is holy. God is just. You know, we live in a world, again, we're so familiar with sin just being swept under the rug, swept under the carpet, and as long as it's out of sight, then it doesn't exist anymore. Well, that's not the God of the Bible. And because of our sin, there's been a barrier placed between us and God. And I've said it before, and it's been said many times, in a sense, God doesn't send people to hell. We are simply going to hell because we are going away from God. God is over here. We're doing a complete 180 direction, and we are going away from God. And just as that chart explains, we are going down. God is in heaven. We are going 100% in the opposite direction. And that's why the Bible speaks about something called repentance. And we have read three times the Lord Jesus said, it is written. So I really want to impress upon your heart tonight that what is most important is what does the Bible say? What does God say? Because we have read in Hebrews chapter 9, it is appointed unto men once to die and after this the judgment. We've been reminded, haven't we, so solemnly in the past couple of months, every one of us is headed towards this. And it's not just old people. God really has an appointment for each one of us. You know, we all are familiar with the idea of booking appointments, and I've had to get into the habit of grabbing my phone and creating in my calendar and put about 6 reminders so I don't forget. We're familiar with making appointments. There are times things come up, there's conflicting things in our schedule, and we can make a phone call or a text or an email, and that's fine. We can reschedule the appointment. Well, this is an appointment that we cannot reschedule. But it is an appointment that each one of us is going to face. And that's why it is so important to be ready. An old prophet many years ago in Amos, he wrote to the nation of Israel and he said, prepare to meet your God. Every one of us is going out to meet God, but are you ready? That is what is really important. Are you ready to meet God? You know, sometimes some appointments, you really don't have to show up with anything, but yourself, but there are some appointments where you need some paperwork or you need to bring certain things, and if you don't bring them, well, the appointment's going to be in vain. You know, in certain appointments, if they're more of a legal nature, if you don't show up and you don't have the proper things, you might end up with some fines or maybe even jail time. But when it comes to this appointment with God, if we are not ready, this is what we'll have to face, hell. The lake of fire, and as we have read in Acts chapter 17, God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. You know, we live in a world where we try to belittle, you know, having responsibility to anybody but ourselves. And really, we live in a world where there's so much disrespect to authority, and you know, we don't bury our heads in the sand. There are a lot of corrupt governments. There's a lot of corrupt things that happen. But this is a just, absolutely holy and just God. And he will not overlook anything. There won't be lawyers at the great white throne to be able to use a loophole or try to explain away or try to maybe switch the focus onto something else. At that judgment of that great white throne will just be you and God himself. Very, very solemn, but that is why it is so important to be ready. We have read, it is written. We have read, it is appointed. But what I want to finish with, something that should bring joy to our hearts. After the Lord Jesus was nailed to Calvary's cross, he was crucified. He was nailed by his hands and his feet to a cross. And after man and all their wickedness, they did so many terrible things to him, they spit in his face. They took their fists and they punched him repeatedly. They insulted him. They made a crown of thorns and put it in his head and they beat it in with a stick with a reed. They scourged his back. They whipped him. They did everything they insulted and they did everything they could think of, and they took him up to Calvary where he was nailed by his hands and his feet. As I already mentioned, in the darkness, he cried out a cry. We can read it. My God, My God, why have you forsaken me? You know why he was forsaken? He was forsaken that we don't have to go here. And that's really the message of the gospel. As much as, yes, we have sinned against God, as much as, because we do deserve judgment because of our sin, we do really deserve the consequences of our wrongdoing. But as the verse on the other side of me, over here, for God so loved the world, so loved the world. That's such a little word, but it means so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And as God looked down upon a world of lost sinners, understanding our need as sinners and understanding that the consequences and really the end of the road for us was eternal death, he looked down and said, I love that world so much that he sent his only Son into the world. He was born and he lived. He suffered. He died. As we have read in John chapter 19, he said, I thirst. They gave him vinegar to drink, and I've often thought of that. How that would have burned his parched lips. After he had received the vinegar, he yelled, he cried, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he died and gave up the ghost. But he made that cry with all the authority of heaven. It is finished. So the same Bible that speaks to us of our sin, the same Bible that speaks to us of the consequences and the judgment for our sin, the same Bible that tells us that the work that was necessary to save you, to save me, was 100% and totally complete when the Lord Jesus cried, it is finished. And all you have to do is receive it as a gift. We're told that word in the original is really a term really that they often, if you owed a bill. And there's that bill was posted, and once you come in and you paid the bill, that exact word was stamped, paid in full. And I can tell you tonight that my sins have been paid in full. I'm not looking at anything that I've done. The fact that I'm a part of a church, that doesn't matter. The fact that I was baptized, that doesn't matter. The fact that I was born coming to a church my whole life, that really doesn't matter either. What matters is that my sin, in its fullness, was nailed to his cross. And I just simply accepted it for myself as a boy of 10 years old. As you are here tonight, hearing the gospel, and as my brethren continue preaching the gospel, I trust tonight that you will understand from the word of God that it is written. Our sins are written down. It is written. There's judgment for our sin. But it's also written that when the Lord Jesus died upon the cross, your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world were absolutely and 100% totally paid in full. And all you have to do is accept it for yourself.